Okay, good afternoon. Thank you all for being with us. Sure do appreciate it. I know there's a lot of people still jumping on to the call. I'm just checking. I'm sorry. I'm just checking to make sure I can be heard. And it looks like I can be. Well, thank all of you for jumping on. I hope you'll, I don't have a whole lot to go over. You know, one thing about this partner conference call is that I'm doing it primarily because everybody still wants to have it. And it's not something, my original thought was that since I am putting audio up on the commentary section almost every day, not every day, I didn't today, for instance, because I knew I was having this call. But I don't know that I need the conference call. But when I said that, everybody went into a little bit of panic mode and said, please don't quit the conference calls. So here I am. I don't have a whole lot to say that I haven't already said on the website at some point in time in the last couple of weeks. I'll summarize some of it. Has there been some changes? I'll tell you, every single day right now, the way we're going, there are changes, and some of those changes are pretty significant and will continue to be. So I guess the let me just stress a couple of points. I'm stammering because there's so many people still jumping on. We're up to 500 and 508, 513, 16, 18. It's just continuing to go up, so I'm trying to hold off a little bit. But anyway, let me just say that we are in an unprecedented time, and I don't have to tell you that. You know that. You've heard me say it, and you've heard everybody in the world say it, it seems. It's so true, and I'm speaking primarily, I'm speaking from an economic perspective more than other perspectives. I don't think I would have ever been able to imagine a time like this. It's a difficult time to be an investor. It's a difficult time to watch the volatility. So I looked at my IRA for the first time in about 6 weeks, about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. Haven't looked at it since. I am only looking at it out of sheer necessity because I need to see something that I'm just trying to remember whether I have or not in there. And so I end up looking at the whole thing. So we're watching, and I hope you're not watching every day, or maybe not even at all. This is a time when you put your faith in your portfolio, your faith on all the things that we have talked about, that you put that into practice. And if you're truly faithful about all of that, you truly believe in your plan, then you're doing the right thing by not looking. By not looking at the plan. Just leave it alone. It's going to be fine. But I'll tell you, I am very concerned about energy. Not because the stocks we have aren't going to come back up. I'm not concerned about that. But I'm concerned about it from a perspective that I talked about a year ago in a conference call like this. And I said that I think the face of energy is changing. Back then, I said, we're not looking at major changes in that environment for probably 20 years. I also said back then, I know some of you will remember, I also said back then, but I remember just not long ago saying it's 30 or 40 years before we're going to see any changes. That sector of the global economy has been changing rapidly. a lot faster than we had expected. This virus and the economy where we are today has expedited that dramatically. There's a lot of changes going on in that sector in particular. I do think there's going to be recovery, but I also think there is going to be a need for quality. Now, I want you to listen to this closely. And even though you're listening to this closely, only half the partners are going to listen to it at all. And half of that half is going to forget what I've said or not understood what I've said. So I ask you to listen closely. There are going to be things coming off of my list in the energy sector. For a period of time, maybe a year, maybe 6 months, maybe 2 years, I don't know. But for a period of time, I'm going through my energy sectors, have been for the last 2 weeks. I am doing a re-evaluation of many of those stocks. And my goal is to dramatically increase the quality of my broad list. In doing that, some are going to drop off. That does not mean they're a sell unless I put them on the sell list. There may be some I do that with. There may be some that disappear off the broad list altogether. Well, why am I going to do that? Why don't I leave them on the broad list and just not have them on my buy list? Because new partners, some of old partners, will go back to the broad list. And they will buy off of that broad list, no matter how many times I've said that is a big mistake. They do it anyway. So rather than to have that happen, I would rather save you from what I think is going to be a problem by just not even having it on there. And I think that's the wise thing for me to do. So I'm going to take those things off. They're still going to be there for me to see. I'm just checking them off my buy list. I need them to still be there for me to say, because there is a strong possibility that as time goes by, I will add some of those back on. So I want you to understand that I'm doing that to increase the quality. So when you call, and people will call and say, why did you take that one off? The answer is going to be the same, because it is of less quality than the other ones that are left on there. And some will say, well, I don't think so. Well, if you don't think so, then you can buy it, and you can own it, and you can keep it. That's totally up to you. Your analytics may be far better than mine. You may see things that I don't see. You have a different set of things that you are measuring by. I'm okay with that. You do whatever you want. Just don't ever complain to me that the system is not working. Anytime you waver from any of the initial strategies, it is not going to work as good for you as it is for other people. Just I'm telling you that from a great deal of experience and observations. So anyway, that is something that I did want to share that is going to be happening. I am going to take I am going to increase the quality. I believe after that, I am going to tackle the material section. But here's the difference between materials and industrials and energy. I have a strong feeling that there could possibly be an infrastructure bill before the election passed. I think that that could be, I know for a fact that it is on the agenda of the president's economic team and of the president. They want a big, strong infrastructure bill. And they are going to use this crisis, like all politicians will do, to get that thing passed. It is going to be very difficult for the Democrats not to pass it going into the election. So it'll probably get passed. I won't like the $2 trillion price tag that it could have on it. But I will like the economic stimulus and growth and strengthening the economy that it's going to create. And that creation of that is going to dramatically impact industrials and material stocks in a positive way. So most of those I will probably leave alone, but some of them could disappear. So my hope is that if we were to pass an infrastructure bill now of that magnitude going into the election, and if the darkness of this world should win out, which I don't believe God is going to allow that, we could see another administration. I don't want to say it's not going to matter, but I will say it won't matter as much for our portfolios in the short term. So I am watching that infrastructure bill. There is going to be an uproar about that from Republicans as well as Democrats, but I believe it'll get passed regardless. The uproar from Republicans are going to be the fiscally conservative folks like myself that don't want to add $2 trillion worth of debt onto the government. My feeling is it's too late to be concerned about that. And if we don't do it, we're going to struggle in our economy. If we do it, it's going to add dramatically to our GDP growth and our economic growth, which is going to help dramatically control the debt. If I were president, would I be doing it? Probably not. Probably not. Because I think there's other ways of getting it done. I don't sit on that economic council. I would do it in conjunction with fixing Social Security with a permanent solution that no senior citizen or anybody working hard today is ever going to think of Social Security again. It's the easiest thing to do, so I would pick the low-hanging fruit and do that very quickly. The other thing that I would do is change the system of entitlement programs to include a public works aspect of that. And I believe by doing that, we will be raising up people that might not quite understand how important it is to have a good work ethic and to work and to reward them for going to work. And I think that would dramatically change our entitlement system. Our disability benefits is really the second easiest thing to fix. I would take the Great Britain, England approach to disability benefits, and I would simply require a certification of two doctors that person cannot work. In doing that, in England, 40% of the roles were cut before the bill was passed. I think it would be similar here. I don't think it'd be 40%, but it would be similar here. And then the bill itself enacted would probably decrease the amount on that dramatically. Social Security disability is a wonderful safety net that we have in America. I am not anti that any more than I'm anti our food stamps program, because I think they serve a purpose to be a safety net for a certain segment of our population. And I think it is the moral and right thing to do. And the reason why we have to do it is because our churches won't. Years ago, we didn't need it. Today, we do. But I think that we can all feel good about it if we ferret out the abuse that goes on with that. And that we know that if you truly need to be on disability benefits, that the government will be there for you to provide that. If you don't truly need it, the government won't be there for you to have that, and you are going to have to find a job. So that would save trillions of dollars. Last but not least, I don't know that I would change any of the system except for one aspect, but Medicare and Medicaid needs to have a system that ferrets out the abuses of the system. And I think over a period of 10 years, it will easily save another $1 trillion. And I'm not talking about abuses of people. I'm talking about hospitals, doctors, dentists, psychiatrists, on and on it goes, to ferret out the abuses. I remember a year when a New York State dentist by herself in a practice, it was determined that if she worked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it would have been impossible to see even 60% of the patients she was paid for. We have to ferret that out. We have to have an attitude that it's not okay. And everybody that is using that system, and I'm talking again by doctors and hospitals, have to understand that they will get caught and they will have to pay it back. I think that would save probably over the course of 10 years another $1 trillion easily, probably more. Look, I'm not on the economic council. I don't get to lay these plans out before anybody that I have their ear to that can do something about it. In my opinion, there are some very, very good people but around this president, but not enough pragmatic people. I love billionaires being a part of the administration. The reason I love it is because, number one, they're good businessmen. Number two, they are isolated from corruption, because China can't sit with Steve Mnuchin and the Commerce Secretary, both billionaires or a multimillionaire, and say, we're going to give you $500,000. We can't have this trade bill. That can't happen, because they've got that much in their wallet. They don't need to worry about taking bribes. It is one of the best ways to fight corruption. So I like that. What I don't like about it is what I don't like about Washington and the world of academia. They live in a bubble. So it's hard for them to be pragmatic because they live in a bubble. And that's the downside. So they need people there that have common sense and have their ear to the street and can think pragmatically without the barrier of the bubble. But that's not likely to happen. So our best shot is a businessman president that we have. So I think that maybe out of necessity, pragmatism might come into play with so many of the people in Washington. So I think the infrastructure bill is huge and extremely significant. So I think it's going to get done. I hope it does. And unfortunately, it's another thing that I'm going to have to bite the bullet on and see it get passed. There is no disputing there is a need for it. But I know one thing. No, I don't. I can hope one thing, that the odds of it being monitored a lot closer than shovel-ready projects, that none of it got spent on shovel-ready projects. It all got spent filling the holes and gaps in state budgets. Looking back, I believe that's what it was originally for anyway. So we are in unprecedented times that are going to take unprecedented moves. And I would suggest to you, most of you don't pay attention to this, but I'll say it anyway. I would suggest to you is that you stop listening to the news. You know, we're losing the news. You know that, right? Fox News, the kids have taken over. They're liberal. We're losing it. We're going to lose it. We're not going to have any hope. You can already see the changes in the last year in Fox News. It's only going to get worse. And we're going to have nothing but opinions, and most of those opinions are going to come from a liberal perspective. We've got to just ignore it. We're trying to have news here that people can listen to that are actually news, because we think people need to be informed. They don't need to hear an opinion about it. They just need to be informed, because we have the belief that if they're informed, that the people that we are informing are smart enough, that have the common sense, that are practical thinkers, that are going to make the right decision. And I believe that with all my heart. So we've got a lot we can be praying about. This sounds horrible, and I hate saying it, but I've been doing it a lot lately, which I hate even more. But as self-serving as it may sound, I'm just giving you the facts. I don't think there's a better time. I don't know what we're going to be able to do going into the future. God has revealed to me or giving me inclinations and laying on my heart things that he wants to see us move forward on and things that he does not. The things that he does not is easy because we just yank them off the drawing board. And we don't hesitate, by the way, and don't even think about it. Other things we move forward on because we believe they're of him and we believe he's going to raise the money up for that to happen. But we don't have the kind of ministry that we can get out there and motivate people to give to. You know, we're not saving the few Holocaust victims that are still struggling to eat. We're not saving those people. You know, we are not directly preaching the gospel and saving souls around the world. We're not doing that. We are not feeding the hungry children of the, you know, the middle countries of Africa. We're not doing those things. We're not relief efforts and other things that you can feel and touch and get excited about. I'm not sorry about that. I'm not apologizing because we're right where God wants us to be. But we have no choice but to be dependent, even in the midst of that, that God is going to nudge people to have understanding that what we do is important for the nation of America and is important for the unwavering, steadfast support of Christianity and the gospel. I love when I get emails like I did last week, somebody criticizing me for sharing my biblical views. We're never going to be ashamed of that. I'm never going to be ashamed of that. I know every time I say something along those lines, I'm offending 100 people. I know I am because I'm getting 3 or 4 emails, and I know they're offended. And I tell them the same thing, turn the channel. Just turn the channel. So I'm not going to stop. I'm going to stand on the rock of Christ for all the things that we are doing. But we are depending upon God nudging people to understand. I pray not that we nudge people to give, that we nudge people to understand, because through the understanding, they will draw the conclusion that this is an important ministry to be a part of someone's giving. And I hope that happens. I mean, I hope it happens. It happens a little more every year, and I hope it continues to happen. When it doesn't, I know we've got to pull back. So I know what the vision is for the ministry. We pray that there is enough obedience left in the country of Christians that they will feel the nudge of God and listen to it. We've got a lot of work to do and a lot of work that we want to do. My goal is to teach you to honor God in every dollar you own and every dollar you have stewardship over. That's first and foremost. We want to expose Jesus Christ in everything that we do here at the ministry, and we're not going to do that. We do that unapologetically. We do that. I mean, we're not going to apologize for any of that. So we want partners. We want you to come alongside us. We appreciate it when you help us do that. We've got some wonderful things in store. And I ask all of you to think analytically about those wonderful things. The things that you might not like, there are people coming to Christ over. We have this show Outspoken not a show I would ever think of doing, and it's not a show that I necessarily, you know, I'm not, you know, overly excited about. It's, but the response that we've gotten of people that have cried and have reevaluated their boldness and faith for Jesus Christ has been off the charts amazing. And all I've been doing is walking around saying, thank you, Lord, for helping me not follow my earthly, my man worldly flesh, and following the check in my spirit that you gave me about that. So, look, there's so much happening, and we're excited about it. I just want you to know our job is harder than it's ever been. My job at Financial Issues, the radio program, has been harder than it's ever been. You hear me on the radio, I could spend 3 hours every day just trying to make sense of what is happening today and then re-explaining it in a different way tomorrow because something has changed. I know one thing. I don't know anybody, though I know there are people out there that have constantly every day have the mental capacity to compute and then remember and string together and connect dots of all these financial things like God has allowed me to do. And having said that, I hate it. I'm being honest with you. I'm not making a joke. I don't like it. If God came to me and say, Dan, anything that you want me to fix, let me know, and I'll fix it. I would tell him to move me on to something else that I might be good at and not this. And it's hard and it's burdensome. And it is really more difficult today than I could ever imagine. I thought it was difficult last year, the year before, and the year before, and the year before. And in my age, I have more energy to do all this than I did when I was 40. I would have quit a long time ago when I was 40, 45. I would have never done all this. So I know it's all of God, and I appreciate it. But I need your prayers for strength and stick-to-itiveness, steadfastness. The one thing I do love is my commitment to Jesus, and that's not going to change. But it's hard, and it's getting harder. And I wish I could make you understand and explain from an analytical perspective of what I do, I do it knowing that tomorrow I'll probably throw it all in the trash. And when you do that every single day for 6-8 weeks, it gets really, really hard to continue to do it. It gets really hard. And that's kind of where I am right now. But I'm gonna keep persisting. But knowing that whatever it is I'm doing, that God is going to glean one piece that I'm throwing in the trash, he's going to help me to remember that is going to do some good down the road, maybe next week, the week after, or 2 years from now. But I'm getting something out of it, and I keep telling myself that. So I would ask you to bear with, not with me, that's hard to do, but bear with my analytics. You know this because I've said this many times. I am not a believer in wavering on anything. So because I laid out a strategy today for something and I said something, And there are some people that are going to think, this guy's nuts. He doesn't know what he's talking about. It. He's already changing his mind. I will tell you that the biggest blessing I have about being able to stick to it is I don't care about that. I am never so sold out on my Republican roots that I'm not going to call out a Republican that's doing wrong, ever. I'm not so sold out on my methodology of doing analytics that I'm not going to change it. I can't change it. I'm going to look bad. I work so hard on that. I'm not going to change it. It is what I believe in. I'm not going to change it. I'm going to change it as the economic system changes, as the economy evolves and change. And I want to tell you that it has served me and partners and people when I used to manage money very, very well for the last 35 years, that kind of attitude. I'm not going to say I'm never going to change my asset allocation model and then change it the next day. If I see fit, I'm going to change it. If something changes in the world out there, I'm going to change it. I'm not, but, and the problem with so many analysts is they won't do that. They won't do that at the risk of looking bad or at the risk of being in love with your analytics. I'm not emotionally attached to my analytics that I'm going to cling to them. I'm going to do what's right for you all, for what I think is right for the kingdom, regardless. So I ask you to bear with me in this very, very difficult time when things are so rapidly changing. We've been extended in the state of Pennsylvania to May 10th. And I said to Yvonne a couple nights ago, I said, you know, I almost wish and hope that it gets extended like another month after that. Because if it doesn't, I don't know how I'm going to get anything done because I've been so overwhelmed with trying to do all this. I am, for the first time in a lot of years, working late into the night. Now, understand me. When I say late into the night, I'm talking about like 8 o'clock at night. Now, it sounds comical, but for me, that's late into the night because I've always worked to beginning to wind down by 4 o'clock in the afternoon because I'm up at 2:30. So, you know, I've got my 12 hours and then some in, and I'm winding down. And, you know, by 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, I'm going brain dead and I can't do any work. Now I'm going to 7 and 8 o'clock every night. And the downside to that is God somehow has given me the mental capacity to not wear out yet. He's extended my time. But at the same time, now I got to unwind from that before I can even think about falling asleep. And so my sleeping time has gotten shorter, except for last night. I had a wonderful night. And I didn't get up till 3 o'clock, and I slept very sound. So he's giving me, you know, the rest, you know, a couple nights a week, but it's getting harder and harder. So I need your prayers, but more, even maybe more than your prayers. I can't do it without your prayers, but your understanding. So part of your prayers ask for understanding from you to know that I want you to trust your plan and I want you to trust me. You know, I get frustrated when people say, I read this guy and what do you think of it? I don't have a thought. I don't have a thought. I don't read anybody else. I don't listen to anybody else. I can't because I'm fearful that it might sway my my way of doing things and my strategies and my systems. But you know, if you don't have to ask me that. You have to decide. Is that person more trustworthy than Dan? Is this person more trustworthy? Is this strategy better than financial issue strategy? So that's a decision that you've got to make. That means you've got to pray about that and see what God lays on your heart. you'll never hurt my feelings by saying, you know, I know what you said, but I'm gonna leave your ministry and I'm gonna move on. That's okay. That's God knows that's happening. I'm not worried. I don't worry about those things. I can't. You've got to be happy and you do what you think is right. But it is. I can't think about those things because if I do, then I'll be making a lot of mistakes. And I make enough mistakes without thinking through all that. I don't want to make any more. So I ask you to bear with me. It's extremely important to me that you try to understand the times here. Call me on the show and ask me the hard questions. We've had a lot of that lately, if you've noticed. And they've deserved long explanations. But I hope it's edifying to people. You don't understand everything I say, but I hope it's edifying. And it gives you some insights as to, I want you to understand when you ask me these hard questions and I give you these long explanations, I know you know by listening to the explanations that I didn't just make that up. You obviously think that I'm smart, and I knew that, and I had the answer. No. What I want you to think is that, how does he know that? He must work awfully hard to try to understand and figure all that out. That would be a better way to look at it, because I'm not that smart. You can't make this stuff up. You can't just ramble on. You got to know. And the only way you know is to study. And I'm studying harder than I ever have in my life. So understand that what I study today is totally changed tomorrow. Maybe not tomorrow. Maybe that's an exaggeration. But look what's happened to the energy sector. It doesn't help that I understand why it happened. And it doesn't help that I can explain why it happened. It happened. And when it happens, it changes the entire matrix of everything that I am working on a daily basis. And everything that I do, like, I'm not different than anybody else. I don't think I am. Other analysts and other economists. But everything that I do is connected to something, and it's all intertwined. And when one piece of it changes, then everything that's intertwined with that has to change too. And it's a lot of work, because you don't want to change it arbitrarily. You've got to change it knowing. So as I'm begging for your mercy here, I'm getting too deep into the weeds. But understand these are difficult times. You do. Understand that things are changing. You do. Pray that the president will continue to surround himself with people that are practical people that are not living in a bubble and can give common sense explanations that will be solutions. Pray that it's not me. I don't want it to be me. Pray that too. But pray that we can, that can happen. We need to pray that for the president. So pray for the elections. We're getting complacent. We're looking at this. All of this is saying there's no way he can't win. But let's be very careful. All right. I was speaking about energy. I added two very interesting energy stocks onto my broad list, E18 and E19. They are shipping companies, oil tanker companies. Both of them were on my list many years ago, so you may own some of them. They came off of my list, one because of biblically responsible reasons. The other one came off my list because of financial fundamentals. They are both back on to my list, and they're not on my buy list. One of them may get to my buy list, maybe after their upcoming earnings. So the other one doesn't look like it's going to make it. But these are oil tanker Companies are extremely volatile, folks, but right now they're doing very, very well, obviously, as you can imagine, because they've become storage facilities, not just oil tankers. But I love the transportation sector, anything in transportation. I have these listed in energy because they're oil and gas. That's who they work for. They're an integral part of oil and gas. One is a Norwegian company, and one is a Belgium company. And so I added those as I talk about changing and getting more quality into the energy sector. So I hope you'll keep listening. We have been blessed with a full board of callers since January. I remember about January 30th, beginning of February, saying to the guys in the control room, I have never seen a January where every day the board was full. What a great work. God is adding partners and adding listeners in a powerful way. I told you I was getting ready to drop off a station that was hurting me to leave. There's been some, so the network doesn't want to lose financial issues. And I think they were shocked that I was leaving because it has been such a great network for me. And I explained to them that I cannot be on a network that could possibly be associated with really poor character. And I look at programming that is airing and what is being said and heard as a character issue of the entire network. And that is wrong of me, probably, but that's what I do. And it doesn't matter how good of an area this is for me and how much I love the area in which they serve, and I love being a part of that, I can't allow, from a ethical and moral perspective, to be associated with certain things. So I haven't heard from them. I got a very, very long email this morning from them telling me all the things that they are doing. I wrote back to them, and I said in an email that my better judgment tells me that I should leave, but I am willing to go, you know, month by month here and see how things progress, and we'll take it from there. So I was planning on being off the end of May, and again, I'm not going to say the network, but I'll say that it was not AFA, and it wasn't, it wasn't a big network, it was a small network, but a very, very important network that served a very, very great area of the country for the ministry, and just great people. So I we'll see. It's going to continue. So that's not going to happen now. So I talked about it on the air, and everybody was emailing me asking me, is it this station? Is it that station? So right now that is not going to happen, and I think that's a good thing, but we'll see, and we'll see where that goes. So right now that's good. Okay. Well, again, keep listening, folks, to all of the commentary that we continue to post. We'll continue to do that. You can go back and listen to this, of course, anytime. This was going to be a short conference call. But I share some things with you that I'm kind of surprised that I share, to be honest with you. But as I think back on it. So, but I appreciate all of you. You guys are a blessing to me like you'll never know. I appreciate and covet your prayers in a dramatic way. I can feel them. I see what God is doing. I'm just trying to be obedient, and I'm going to continue to do that. And I promise you that I'm going to work hard, never to waver on that, and allow. I know all too well that he who lives in me is far stronger than what is trying to push against me. We are under attack. We always are. It has been ramped up a little bit. The attack that we are under right now is coming far more from individuals as opposed to organizations, but ramped up nonetheless. And I guess I'm not surprised by that, because we're growing and we're in bigger and better and more areas. I appreciate your continued feedback on some of the things that we're doing. Thank you for that. And just thank you for your prayers. So continue to pray that we would be healthy, that we'd be strong, as I pray for all of you every single morning, that God would have an extra measure of blessing for all of you who support this ministry. Without them, we wouldn't be here. And I thank the Lord for you every morning as I pray God's grace, peace, blessings, and joy on all of you. And I always will. I appreciate it so much. And I thank all that you do. It is going to be an interesting summer. There's no doubt about it. And I know we'll get through it. And we'll get through it together. So thank you for all you do. Thank you for what you've done with preborn. What a blessing that is. Man, I wouldn't be surprised at the end of the day we haven't met our goal, which is about 5 times faster than last year. Think about it. I mean, last year was a long time. So pretty amazing to see how far we've gotten. So keep working on that, and I thank you for that. We're saving lives. And India Partners was an amazing program, amazing campaign. We still want you to continue to give to India Partners as we spread the gospel to areas unreached. And this ministry now has its fingers in a reach literally around the world in so many things we do. We have more and more listeners in the UK than we ever have. We've got outspoken network throughout the whole country in every household in New Zealand. They are playing my financial issues, some financial issues segments in New Zealand and in Australia. I am being heard in Singapore loud and clear. We have partners in the Philippines. We have partners in the UK, which I've mentioned. We have partners in Brazil. It's funny to have partners in non-English speaking places, but we do. And it is just incredible what God is doing. So we ask you for your prayer for that continuation. Have a wonderful day. Please stay safe. Please stay away from everybody, or at least 6 to 10 feet or whatever it is, away from everybody. And this is a time that we can bond with our families, and we are enjoying the time with our grandchildren and our children. It's been so special, and they are so aware of our risk here, and they've been so incredibly conscious, and I thank them for that. So stay safe. We'll try to do the same. God bless. See you tomorrow.